I'd like to call the Library Black Powers Authority Board Finance Subcommittee of Monday, May 23rd, 2011 to order. Direct me to note the roll. We have an agenda in front of us.
I'd like to, I know it's not my place, but I'd like to make a suggestion that maybe we move the fund balance policy up first.
Okay.
So that these, Cheryl, at least doesn't have to say and check doesn't either.
So that would, the C would be moved before A, before A. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll move it. Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. And we have our minutes of our last meeting.
I'll move to approve. I need to abstain. I was.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I abstain.
All right, oral communications.
I'm looking for a volunteer to show up.
I thought this would be the riveting meeting to sit on.
Well, we'll get an episode of the children's room.
Okay, let's move on to staff reports with fund balance policy starting.
I'll let Jack do this.
Yeah, I'll just introduce. I brought Cheryl Pike with me. She's our assistant finance director in the city, who is familiar with this. So I'll give you a little introduction, and she could give you some more commentary. But essentially, you know, we are required to follow all sorts of accounting pronouncements, and a new one came out called GASB 54 that dictate certain new requirements for fund balance, and we talk a lot about fund balance. And what this simplistically does, it doesn't really change the total amount of fund balance, but it comes up with some new categories. And so the way we report fund balance, what the components are, will look a little different. And you'll recall that the board previously say that they wanted to take the $492,000 in fund balance we started this year with and commit that for the purposes of cash flow and unexpected expenditures. And so that's really the arena in which the JPA board and the city council also, they have to weigh in now and say, well, if we're going to commit something, it needs to be a statement by the council. There's some other categories that staff has some discretion over how to categorize, but in a larger level, it's required two things, really, that the board adopt a policy about fund balance, and second, make certain commitments, if any, each year. And so that's a brief intro. If you want to talk a little bit more about categories and so forth?
Right. What you have is we have a draft policy that we'd like the library board to approve when they meet next, and we also have the description of what we want to bring forth and have committed, and we'll work with Teresa a little later. I think she has some changes she wanted to do this even, but just for the finance committee, subcommittee to make a recommendation. But I've seen you've read through it, but just to generally describe the policy, it starts out with the reason why we have the policy, like Jack was talking about, and then it gives the categories, the new categories that are under this new guideline or statement. And after that, we go into your governmental fund description, which is the general fund, which is the only one that you have. And then how the policy on how we report it on the financial statement, which is classifying the fund balance amounts, the order in which we classify the funds, and then the order in how we spend the funds. And lastly, we made mention of the stabilization arrangement, which is, I forget what it's called this year, but we put $492,000 into that. But it shows where that will go and what we will have to do with that. And that's in the policy.
It's another term for what the commitment is, the fact that it's trying to deal with stabilizing the finances.
Right.
Can we talk about the four categories of
There's actually five, but we have non-spendable, and non-spendable is such as prepaid expenses or inventory, something that you can't spend, or a fund that's legally required to stay intact, which is like an endowment fund.
But we don't have anything like that.
Don't have any, right. Restricted fund balance is a fund that's is for a specific purpose that's been from enabling legislation or something like that. Like if there was an ordinance or something and it required that these funds stay in that category. So that's restricted. That's outside of your board, anything like a contract or anything like that. That would be classified as restricted. You wouldn't have to approve that. We would put it in that classification because we know to put it in there.
Again, we don't have anything like that.
Right. Committed fund balance is what you have to decide upon, what funds you want out of the available fund balance that you want to commit for a specific purpose. And that's what the majority of the funds that will be that we're asking you to vote on will be. And if you refer to this sheet, that's the type of funds we'll do. The other is assigned, and that would be any funds that Teresa would want to sign for a specific purpose. She would be the level authority to do that. The remaining would be unassigned fund balance, and that's available. That's just
so we used to use words like reserved and designated. Those words don't no longer fit the accounting world, but in essence, they're similar concepts, but they're trying to say if something really is important at a board level, they want the board to weigh in and say, this is the purpose of what these funds are about, how they should be used.
And the distinction between a committed and assigned, because they seem very similar, but committed
right.
is by the board, not
right.
by the board,
the
but Teresa can assign funds within
And I would see that, I mean, I guess I would see that as we have our unassigned fund balance, and I want to put something aside to save for paying for something. Why I wouldn't just say don't spend it, but but maybe I would, if I wanted to more formally do it, make sure that it was there at the end of the year, maybe I'd put it aside.
Yeah, or
so
if we wanted to track the activity in that fund, if it were, you know, pretty big chunk that you might want to assign.
Yeah, I can see for the ILS, maybe we would have wanted to put that aside so we knew that it was there
big
for
project,
that.
Yeah.
And that actually might not be a bad way to handle things that look like they might need to be carried over, like the ILS this year. I'm going to ask to carry over funds for next year. And if it had been in an assigned fund balance, I might still have to ask to carry it, but at least it would have been discreetly there that we knew about.
Those are optional. The commitments and the assignments are optional.
Now, I have a couple questions. So, in terms of the reporting for these, all public agencies are required? Or
yes.
And when did that go into effect?
It went into effect this year for us. They actually, the pronouncement came out in I think February 2009. We had so much time to.
Yeah, I know some other agencies have already kind of implemented. And doesn't it change the reporting requirements also that you make these documents available in other formats, like online? Or are there other requirements other than just the.
I don't think just part of this pronouncement. There are other pronouncements.
Yeah. And then you mentioned, Jack, that when this first was rolled out, that you said that it would require city council and board approval. What, why wouldn't the board, the JPA, just vote on this?
Well, they will. I was trying. What I meant to say was that the city council, for its own,
That's what I just wanted to.
And the JPA board for its own.
Okay.
And you need to mix those two.
Yeah, I'm still kind of figuring out.
You're under the same obligations as the library JPA.
Do you know of any other agencies that have implemented this in the county? The reporting report?
I don't. Do you?
I haven't seen anything yet.
But we're all required to act by June 30th.
I have gotten copies of draft policies. They've all been across the board. It hasn't been that consistent in the policies. The reason they did this, though, was to make the reporting on fund balance consistent with the financial report.
And also, I'm aware in other places, too, that the reporting for pension liabilities and health care, that's also something where there and it was about the same time, 2009, where those requirements, have we already implemented those reportings on, like, whether how well our funded our pension liabilities are?
And of course, there was some element of that for many years, but they've changed some of the reporting and some of the calculations. But we've had to report for many years the level of funding for, at least for retirement purposes.
Wasn't it, but I thought it was still, that was about 2009 where you had to show what the liability was for retiree health care and also for any, do we offer retiree health care for the city?
We have some, yes. And we are, we're operating as a pay-as-you-go currently.
Okay.
But we're looking at that.
Because
even though we don't have gargantuan liabilities compared to other jurisdictions, we still have some.
Right.
So we want to deal with those appropriately. So we are looking at that.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on this?
I didn't know if she was finished. I mean,
okay.
I did have one just trying to. There's a reference to some of these. You can't create an unassigned fund balance, or you can create, or one not spendable. You can't. You basically mean you can't set aside more than you have.
Except in the non-spendable.
Not spendable, you can set aside more than you have.
Right, and you can have a deficit.
And then carry it forward. Oh, okay.
Looking at this list that they gave for, I'd like some direction on this because my recommendation would be that we make a decision each year how much the balance at the end we want to put into a cash flow reserve and how much, in case we need. I'm just working on this year's budget, and we may want to use some of this next year just as a cushion because things are still so up in the air. So, I'd hate to put ourselves in a bind when we could just as easily each year just say, when we know how much we've got, say this is how much we want to put aside in case there's a need to keep some. That would be my only recommendation, just to give us some flexibility rather than...
What's the timing, maybe in here, when we annually you would have to make that
June meeting.
Designation?
Right. June meeting.
By the end of the last meeting.
So we wouldn't actually know what our actual fund balance was, but you would have
an idea, and we could say, we'd know how the next year's budget is looking, and kind of, if there is a fund balance, then the X amount, I think we could word that.
You could say percentage or something.
The other thing is we do have these strange funds. Did you need something from Sam?
She needs a tissue. So.
Oh.
Is there one back here? I can get it.
What's your doll's name?
Yeah, of course.
He doesn't have a name?
Looks very attentive, too.
I know.
Of all of the public comments we have.
Attentive.
I don't want any red noses. The other thing, and since I've been here, I've looked at these other little funds we have, and I've kind of wondered about them. The contingency reserve fund has about close to $9,500 in it. The technology reserve fund has $4,800. The capital projects fund has $472, and Felton Branch we need to leave alone, so I wouldn't touch that. I just wonder if we've already got the cash reserve over to the other, put aside. Do we want these for any particular reason, and should we just at this point liquidate them? And I assume we can take them in, appropriate them in.
I guess my question on the process is. When we were reviewing and discussing the service model, we, for purposes of our working documents, we had something called the technology fund, right?
We called it a technology reserve fund, but that one was actually intended to be spent each year. It's actually the vehicle replacement fund that we would want to, that's one we would want to set aside as a special fund. Because that one is supposed to build over time. And maybe one of these could be repurposed for that. But the technology, we could put it aside. The technology one maybe is a good one to make an assigned fund balance. because that was when we intended to.
Do you have a list of those you might recommend for the assigned, so we know which these would collapse into?
I just got this.
Oh, okay.
5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
So I can certainly, you know, if you guys are amenable to that, then I can certainly do that for. But do you want? I mean, I know we do definitely need the vehicle. Would you want technology to be that separate, or just?
Well, I mean, I guess the issue would be if in some year we didn't spend that amount, would we want it to get carried over? In which case, if it were in a fund, it would automatically get carried over. You know what I'm saying?
Or do we want to make the decision at the end of the year? Because I assume we could create the fund at the end of the year and say for next year we would like to create a technology mm-hmm. fund balance fund
right.
and move the money right. into it.
Okay. Yeah. I just don't want to lose sight if, you know, if we're saying we're putting aside whatever it was, $100,000, $50,000
right.
a year, and if it doesn't get used, I don't want to lose
yeah.
sight of it.
Yeah. What are the benefits of keeping it?
Well, I can't touch it.
No, but I mean, you were saying it's transferred into another account. You were asking,
oh.
I mean, are there benefits to keep it as its own fund, or is it, what are the pros and cons?
These, I'm not sure. I mean, the contingency reserve fund, to me, is the cash reserve fund. That's, to me, what the contingency is. So why we have, you know, why do we have two of them?
Okay.
I definitely agree on that.
Why doesn't that one just go to the cash reserve? The technology reserve fund, my guess is that this was established, I think what Kira thought it was established for was to replace the ILS. We obviously didn't get very far. And we must have dipped into it for something, would be my guess, too. So, I mean, Barbara's got a good point. I mean, maybe we keep that one, we could keep that one, and then at the end of the year, if we haven't spent the money that we've allocated for technology replacement, we could dump that one in. We could use it there. So, knowing that during the year, if I need another $4,800, maybe I do ask to pull it out of there. I just haven't felt like I could touch these because I didn't know what they were for. But the Capital Projects Reserve Fund, we don't have, the board hasn't committed to putting money aside for ongoing capital projects. We allocated we're going to try to allocate $40,000 this year for capital maintenance, but it's spent, what, three times over now? We have about over $100,000 in capital maintenance requests, and we've got $40,000. So,
yeah, it seems to me that we don't need that. I mean, if we ever do decide we need to save for some
right.
Capital project, we can initiate it. But
okay, so that one would go away. We leave technology and create vehicle. I can work with Cheryl if that approach kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we'll have a agenda item on our June
yes.
board meeting, and you'll come in with a recommendation on how we do.
And a crystal clear explanation.
Yeah, I'm sorry you got so late, but at least the board will have anything.
Will the rest of the board members receive the fund balance policy also? Is that they'll vote on that policy?
Mm-hmm.
And this
right.
is, it's right now, this is the policy they'll receive. Also.
Right,
yeah,
that's
that
the
won't
draft.
Be any changes to the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
That's good to me.
Yep.
Unless you all get an electronic copy.
Maybe move to recommend this to the whole board.
Yeah.
You sure? I'll make a motion.
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Monthly financial reports. We continue to look pretty good. 83% of the year with these reports. Revenues are our two main sources, sales and property tax. Our property tax is kind of hanging in there. It's not, didn't dip below it's where it's supposed to be, and sales are a little bit up as expected, so we're holding good there. Library fines are holding too. I'm sorry, these are page numbers. Nope, I guess we didn't get the page number. We usually get these right at the last minute, so. But I'm on revenues, paid for revenues. So any questions on revenues?
I don't know.
not a lot of sources of that. Expenditures. I didn't see anything I can't explain. I know we still have a few expenses. Some of the printing money is low. We have all the summer reading printing to still do. That's happening right away. Landscaping is low, but I just signed some invoices on Aptos. Did quite a bit of work with some trees that had to come out, some holly that need to be planted, and some other stuff that had to happen. So that one's going to get spent.
Will we be under the labor charges for the year?
Overall, looks like we are. In fact, I got, did you give it to me? It appeared in my mailbox. It looks like the projections, and I don't think I brought that sheet, but it looks like about 50,000 to the good in personnel, which is the city projection. Is that what that is that I got?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't get a chance to study the whole thing.
What's the difference between... You have interagency labor charges in several categories?
If you look at the number 50, 51, 52, 53, in the middle, to the left, under account number,
yeah.
50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55 refer to each of the divisions.
Oh, okay.
So don't ask me which division's which.
We're going to be changing this next year.
Oh, no.
No, you know this. We're going to start direct charging.
Oh, right.
Labor charges. So within each division, you'll be able to see salaries and pension costs and health costs and so forth. Because right now, what you're seeing is, it'll simplify the city side and I think the library side as well. You'll see costs coming directly in instead of going through as an unified charge. So what you're seeing is, you're seeing the out of the city's budget. Actually, you see this page that shows all the labor costs for the library. And then the library budget itself, you just see this interfund labor charge. So starting next year, we're going to direct charge into the library budget. On the city side, you'll no longer see this large amount of labor costs in the city budget there and then taken out. You'll see it direct charged into the library.
Great.
So we're trying to be more direct and more efficient with it.
Right.
Makes sense.
Will that also include charges for, let's say, the bookmobile or other sort of programs that are within the library's operations, or is that just programs and services? That's one.
It's just set up the way the divisions are set up.
Yeah, okay.
The vehicle costs would be identifiable with the model bookmobile. Yeah, you don't have to break it down that finely. ILS, I also signed an invoice for the migration to the ILS, so that's going to dip into that money some. Hopefully natural gas as a result of the winter. Then it's been a long one. I'm not even sure spring is spring. So signatures, and once again our pool of cash climbed to 1.2 million. Any questions on where we're at?
No, it seems like we're on track. No,
something's high, some are low. Everything's I guess 11-12 budget. I brought. I've seen this. I didn't get this in the packet, but I was waiting for some. I guess we'll have the official letter in June at the board at the financing authority meeting. The population percentages you'd asked about, we lost down 0.11%.
0.11.
Which the effect on 11-12 revenues I calculated at about 15,000.
So this is just every 10 years, right? Along with the census is when these adjustments are made?
They adjust it every year.
Oh, every year.
But you don't usually get big variances in a given year. But it's every 10 years when they do the big changes come.
Yeah.
So It only changes just a little bit, but there's some, because they do estimates in between.
What do they base the estimates on?
State Department of Finance, early May, comes out with population numbers effective the previous January 1st.
So, anyway, not much we can do about that.
Although, who extrapolates the numbers for the larger Watsonville area?
County does.
Because Department of Finance says here's Watsonville's population, here's the county's population, here's each city. But then there's this formula I know.
They take like 5%, the way I understand it, 5% of the Watsonville population and subtract it from the city of Watsonville. Then they add in, I think it's 5% of the county population, maybe it's not that high. And that gets added back into Watsonville's population to account for the fact that they serve outside of the county and that some of their people also use, taking the 5% out of the city of Watsonville accounts for the fact that they use county. Somehow that, I wasn't around when they agreed to that one, so.
Yeah, that's in the JPA, or the financing authority.
I was going to say, well, that happened at the Library Financing Authority and
there is a meeting June 6th. There's a.
Actually,
he won't be here.
We have a substitute.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's Catherine or Hillary that's going to come to financing.
Yeah,
sorry. They're both going to get designated as alternates.
At the next tomorrow's meeting?
Right. Hillary's coming to the board meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to fight for the luxury financing.
Yeah. It's going to be a big battle.
And my recollection is that the issue that we had in the past that we're still paying off our loan on was due to miscalculation of the population percentage in some way by the county.
We have
so
this August.
Pay attention to it. I don't think you could have caught it in the financing authority. It was way, you know.
We have two payments left, this August and next August.
But to make up an overpayment?
We pay $40,000 a year.
Yeah. For how long?
It's been
2013.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. No,
well,
when
fiscal
did,
year
when,
13.
When did it begin? When did the payments begin?
I got that.
So it was before I was on
five.
The library?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't really. I don't think it was something the finance authority could have figured out.
Blame it on Sam.
It was buried in the source.
Of course,
that
was
there when I came
on. Well,
we got more money in 1 year than we should have.
Right.
That was a
long time ago. And once they figured out that was a miscalculation, of course.
Are they charging interest on this, or just straight payment?
The total, the principal, and debt will stay the same. Unless you want one. Debt, interest, possible. Somewhere I have the payment schedule.
Yeah, I scheduled it too when I gave it. When I do a memo about the different debts.
Yeah, it's in here somewhere.
Can I ask on this? I was kind of expecting they would reference this 2010 census.
I asked. I emailed and said, is this based on the 2010 census? And I have a return email that says, yes, it is.
You have not gotten.
I did.
Oh, you did.
I did. I got a return email that said yes, it is based on the census. I didn't print that. That was my first question.
Because he just cites the Department of Finance in one estimate.
Yeah, I know. That was my question too. But they said yes, it was.
Okay.
And I can include that.
So one would assume then the Department of Finance is based on the latest census, and the county pulls from the Department of Finance.
First, the Department of Finance estimate.
It's
like the census would be.
August 12th.
Remember, right, the interest rate was the late rate, so the rate interest rates real low.
Oh, okay. I was going to say just pay it off.
So
it's really low.
Yeah.
We're usually not worried about debts if the interest rate's
low.
Especially when cash is very low.
I'm not seeing the date, but it's been several years.
All right.
Okay, so the rest of the 11-12 budget, I intended to work on it all day Friday, but that didn't happen for other reasons. So is very, still very draft, okay? I just want to talk to you philosophically because I came up with two different versions. The changes since, and I didn't make you a copy of my change memo because it's too rough. The areas that I was asked to review were utilities, to make sure that they were adjusted properly for additional hours, and they were. We did Kira and I verified that, so I didn't make any changes to utilities. We were waiting for some final benefit numbers from the city budget office, and we also were going to adjust the personnel budget with more definitive figures for the new staffing plan if it was available. So, first of all, on revenues, I did adjust it for the $15,000 less. So I took out some of it from the sales tax and some of it from property tax based on the memo from the county in February. So utilities didn't change. Personnel, the original budget had a larger, had our benefits being about 49% of salaries. The new number is closer to 47.5, but this is still significantly more than the 43 that we had done in the model. So there was an increase there. The analysis of the job specifications resulted in recommended compensation for the new job descriptions. Basically, it came out to about $106,000 over what we had in the working model for the full year. So we're working with a half year this year, but the total estimate off from the working model was only $106,000, which I think is pretty darn good.
And that's salary or salary?
That's just salary. And then 47.5% for benefits, that's about another $50,000. So that came to about $156,000 for the full year, so another $78,000 for the half year. So that's above and beyond what we had before. So the other things that got added on here is, I met with HR today about the union concessions, and we upped the salary savings from 125 to 200. I really don't want to put that number. It'll be in the budget, but I don't really want to focus on it. So.
Does that represent the 10%? Full 10%?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh. There's some other. They already get credit for the no COLA. So anyway, we did up that a little bit. We also have a possible opportunity. I'm meeting with staff tomorrow that's writing a grant for it to get an AmeriCorps volunteer to help set up a volunteer program. And that would cost us $10,000. And to me, that's a bargain to get another somebody on board during this critical year that we're facing. So I threw that into the budget, added that into the budget.
Where's that?
I didn't do it under personnel. I did it under system services, AmeriCorps volunteer. And I just did it as $10,000.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
I don't know the details on it. I am, like I said, meeting with some staff tomorrow, so I may know more. But so it was interesting because when I did it first, trying to fix the personnel spreadsheets that Kira had set up, that came from HR payroll budget gave us, and I ended up about 80 some odd thousand in the hole, and it just didn't seem right because there weren't that many changes. So when I went back and did a backing out kind of situation, reverse engineering of it, this is the one I came up with, which you have in front of you, and it comes out to about 3,000 in the hole. So the numbers, I'm still working on the numbers to see what's right. And what you see below there is the fund balance from 10-11 to operating. When I was about 80,000 in the hole, I said, okay, what if we took 100 from the 180 that we look like we're going to save and put it in there so it looks like we're balancing? So much is still up in the air. We really won't know until October, November. Well, probably not until October because you'll approve it in October. Probably November or December, what the real costs are with the new service model, because we do it by individual, and until the individual changes are made, we won't really know. So I guess I want some direction from you when I finalize these numbers. Do you want me to approach it with maybe calling on this year's fund balance to help out in case we show on paper, 80,000 or 3,000? I mean, we managed that. That's not
up to a certain dollar amount. Like just say, just specify it to a certain.
I would say, yeah, I mean, so what I presented the final budget, this is a year, I mean, the other part, if it is as high as 80, 90,000, we could hold off on the facilities master plan until we see how things lay out. But the board, when it did the service model approval, did not request cash money going to cash reserve as part of the stated budget. That's in there in a couple of years out, but it's not in there in 11-12. Well, at least we were on it. I'm speaking to the choir. When you finalize that model, the money to cash reserve in 11-12 was taken out. So that's why I feel like, you know, if there's a year to maybe play with things, this could be it.
So and in terms of what you're specifically asking us to allow for up to a certain, or I was suggesting up to a certain dollar amount to cover any gaps?
Any net loss, net operating loss.
Would 75,000 be too low? Or what do you think?
How about just a straight
100,000?
And I, based on this, I don't think, you know, I don't think I'll need it, but.
And
and this doesn't include the carryovers. The 180,000 does not include the carryover funds for the ILS and for the grant. And I have to, when I did that estimate of 180,000 fund balance, that was after we carried over money for the ILS and the training grant.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing to think about is, as Teresa said, the personnel costs are done now based on the new classifications, new salary ranges, and the top of the salary range.
About that, thank you.
And so when Teresa ends up actually moving people around and laying people off, and we have real people in jobs, it will all have to be recalculated again. And one would assume that at that point, everybody is not at the top
right.
of their salary.
Even if they move him to a new salary range, they most definitely won't move to the top of it.
So we should either see some savings there, or at least an offset to any other increases that we may not have accounted for at this point. Is that
yeah.
accurate?
Mm-hmm. That is accurate. It's just so volatile.
It's the big service change in the middle of the year, as opposed to nice, neat, and clean at the beginning of a fiscal year that really confuses it.
Yes, I don't want to postpone the facilities master plan
okay.
or any of those
right.
projects that we talked about, and I agree, it would be great to have an AmeriCorps volunteer to help out. Does a 10,000, does that provide for like a stipend? Or?
I think that's what it's for.
Yeah.
I've been told that our cost is 10,000.
Okay.
And I'm going to meet with the staff tomorrow that's working on the facility, so hopefully they'll have more information. But that's what I was told we needed as a placeholder for it.
Okay, so I'd be willing to make a motion that up to $100,000 worth of cash reserves be used to bridge any gap.
The 10-11 cash.
The 10-11 cash reserves.
It's not really cash reserves.
It's 10-11 fund balance.
It's a 10-11 ending fund balance.
Net gain.
Or surplus.
Surplus.
It's not that. It hasn't been, it hasn't been designated to go to cash reserves.
Okay.
Yeah.
10-11 and reserves be used to compensate for any budget shortfalls as a result of implementing the new service model.
I'm not going to second that motion. I mean, if Barbara wants to.
So you indicated you didn't put a limit on it. You just
I said up to
100,000. Oh, you said up to 100,000. I will second that.
Discussion. So what I come from, as I recall, when we did the service model in the first year, we had 100,000 plus surplus identified in it. And then after that, it fell off. And I had already at that point expressed my concerns, okay, about where we were. And so now it seems to be degrading further. And some of it's legitimate expenditures. And assume that where we are is that this shows a deficit of currently of $3,661. So, and then the $100,000 would be moved in. In essence, we would end up with a fund balance of $96,339.
If the 3661 holds, I wouldn't move $100,000 in.
Right, and that's what I right,
yeah.
And I only
did that because this number
right.
an hour ago was 80,000.
and that's why I guess I would instead of committing those fund balances now, would rather I'd be willing to one to see a balanced budget, okay, and take what's necessary to balance the budget for 11-12. And then let's see how things, you know, when you implement the staffing changes and that rolls out, and as we get closer to the increased hours coming January, look at a mid-year review and look. Then, I guess instead of being the first option for the first 100,000 is to spend our savings. So that's just my perspective. I realize it's just a different perspective. And I just want to say that's why I'm not that quick to just say, let's take the 100,000 and move it over. So because to me, it means it's available to be spent.
Well, I guess as the maker of the motion, I would never intend it to be used in a way that would exceed what our available balance is. I guess as this is something, as Barbara mentioned, we're transitioning over from one service model to the next, and there are certain assumptions that I think may be much greater in terms of the expenses allocated to labor maybe than will actually be the case. And because we're approving our budget, our annual budget, I think this provides a little flexibility on the front end to perhaps make up any differences so that the budget can be balanced. And I would never assume, and I'm sure Teresa would agree, that we're saying we're giving a blank check for $100,000 to shift over to meet a shortfall. What we are looking at is a real, concise attention to make sure that we are balancing the budget. But if these are the projects and programs that we're looking for at this point, then we approve them. And if it means $4,000 from those reserves going over, that would balance it. And then we'll get additional savings later on. Perhaps we say an equal amount, and those savings goes back to any cash reserves. I'd be willing to amend the motion so that once we fully realized the savings that take place, they could go back over to the reserve, if that is responsive to what your concerns are. Sam?
If that means that that by doing this we're only authorizing sufficient amount to actually balance this budget, and that any future expenditures further into that 100,000 would have to come back to us.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
That's exactly what I intended. As I understood it, and that's why I made the motion, like here there's $3,600 that it appears to be out of balance. So in that case, that $3,600 will be transferred over from reserves. But you wouldn't transfer the full $100,000.
Right. No. I've got the other one here that showed it closer to $90,000. I think it's going to be closer to this. And actually, if this is what it is, I'll find the $3,600 to cut from the budget and not need it. But if it's $25,000, my question would be what direction do you want to give me on cutting? Where do you want to take it from?
Then I can amend that original motion to say that once you do realize those savings, that they flow back to the cash reserves. Is that?
That's fine.
Good. All right. Well, if the motion is with that understanding, then it's just a matter of presentation.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's really what it is at this point. We can't approve an unbalanced budget.
Right. I mean, the other way of doing it that I've seen done in the past is basically you just build in a line in one of your, usually it's personnel because that's the biggest qualm, but we've already got one in there, which is just generic savings that you're going to find somehow as you go through the year. It does the same thing, but that one
We've already got it.
We've already got it.
Is this presentation going to make the labor negotiations more difficult?
No, I think we're fine. It's the same as it's been out there, the number just changed. I think.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Yeah. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Only other issue is I won't be here June 27th. I will be driving back to Arizona. I have vacation time. I have to use by the end of June or lose it, so I'm going at the end of June. So I won't be here on the 20th either, in case you wanted to move it up. So you're welcome to meet without me. Or do we need to meet?
I would think that, assuming our budget gets passed in our first June meeting.
I hope it does.
That I'll meet on the 19th. There shouldn't be a whole lot to review or look at. We won't actually have any of the actual year end.
Won't have year end yet. Right?
Data.
Won't have
that. One month's worth of revenues and expenses is sort of to me to look at.
I'm okay with
skipping
that. Yeah.
And unless there's something that comes up that's urgent, I'm happy to.
Okay. So the next meeting will be July. Thank you.
I read about it.
Did you get my email inviting you to
a quick question for David and Sam before you wander away. Based on what happens in tomorrow's Board of Supervisors meeting,
yeah.
You're looking for
I'm going to
adjourn. Okay.
Yeah, thanks.